Hey, hey, everybody, Kevin here with Pursuing Pixels, and welcome back to another edition of Save It for the Cast. And by now, you know the drill. I'm going to be kicking the ball over to John Randall and I in just a little bit here after I talk about some of the stuff that I've been playing. As far as the stuff that John Randall and I dig into, John's been playing a little bit of Randall's resolution game for this year, East Chronicles, and he talks a little bit about like some old, retro RPG saving systems. We kind of talk about like the definitive versions of games because this game's been re-released numerous times and in numerous forms. We talk a little TurboGrafx, a little Wonder Boy. We dabble into a little bit of Exceed Publishing. I can't remember how much we got into that on a previous episode. Little Shantae, kind of all over the map pretty much. But John kind of taking leading the charge here with some of that East Chronicles talk. And before I kick it over to that, I'll talk about some of the stuff that I've been playing lately, kind of a couple of demos that I've been firing up lately on the Switch. One that I actually just fired up right before sitting down here, I fired up that Princess Peach Showtime demo. And this is a game just like the Mario vs. Donkey Kong demo that I talked about either previous or a couple Save It for the Cast ago. This is a game from Nintendo that I wasn't necessarily like, okay, I'm going to grab this at $60 full price. It definitely looks really cool from what I'd seen from the trailers. And the premise of the game here is you play as Princess Peach, and then you get to morph into like a ton of different, playable character modes. You almost like different costumes, but all that have different gameplay modes. And here in the demo, you get to play as like the sword fighter Princess Peach, which is kind of like the primary one that they showcased, or at least the first one that they showcased in like the Nintendo Direct or whenever they announced this game initially. And then you get to play as Patisserie Peach, which is kind of like a baker mode, and all the different modes seem to be pretty different at the end of the demo, kind of in true, or I guess kind of modern fashion, like it ends, and then it shows like kind of a gameplay trailer with a bunch of different snippets for like what you can expect to see later in the game. So with this game here, with this demo, it doesn't really show off a ton of what's to offer here. Obviously, it looks like there's like 10 or 12 different gameplay modes or costumes or whatever. And I will say that the sword fighting mode was pretty dang fun, like to the point where I was like, oh, I almost wish they like just leaned into this. And I thought this when they showed the game off initially too, like, you know, and that's one thing that I'm a little bit worried about with this game is like, I wonder if like some of the modes are just going to be like a little bit too shallow, or if maybe all of them, maybe not shallow is not the right word, but just not fleshed out enough as they could be, to where it's just like, okay, like when I was playing the baker mode, a little more so than the sword fighter mode, the one stage that they have for each mode here in the demo, or each, you know, combat system, whatever you want to call it. I guess it's not really combat with the Patisserie Peach. You're more just kind of like button mashing. It's more like mini game style, where the previous one, and this is mostly like the gameplay is mostly side scrolling. And then again, the previous one, I meaning the sword fighting mode. It's more like kind of like a side scrolling beat 'em up. Like it's 2D perspective. You got a little bit of that 3D depth of field, although the like kind of mini boss or boss battle at the end of the first stage was more kind of in a 3D, you know, arena, if you will, which was pretty dang cool. I really am impressed with the presentation of the game. It kind of has like a Yoshi's Crafted World, Woolly World kind of feel to like the presentation, not necessarily in the sense that things are made out of crafts or whatever. This is all kind of like set in the, you know, quote unquote real world or the Mario, you know, universe or whatever. But I just really like how everything looks. The world's just so fully realized. You're kind of like, you know, everything's taking place on a stage. And, you know, the hub world is kind of in this theater. It seems like you're just going to go kind of like, you know, Mario 64 style. You're just going into all these different doors. And at first I was thinking it was just going to be one giant level kind of per gameplay mode or whatever. But it seems like it's going to be broken up where like each, you know, mode is like its own world, if you will, with individual stages, at least based on the demo here and the way it was broken up. So that was definitely pretty cool. I'm not going to necessarily grab it at $60 or even at like 30 or 40 necessarily, but it definitely is cool. And it's like a curiosity enough to where it's like, down the line, you know, I might end up adding it to my collection. And I'm definitely glad that Nintendo keeps up this tradition of like putting out some demos for the games that they've been releasing. And then not necessarily Nintendo here, but on the most recent Nintendo Direct, that was kind of like their partner showcase thing. Devolver announced that Pepper Grinder was going to be coming to Switch at the end of this month here, this month being March. And they put a demo up like right at the time or at the end of the Nintendo Direct or whatever. And this is a game that I've been really anticipating for a while, just like a 2D side-scrolling pixel art platformer. I remember having seen this one on social media ages and ages ago. I think even long before Devolver had picked it up, or I shouldn't say long before, but before. And I, you know, just saw like, okay, this is a game that I'm going to be looking forward to. And then once I saw that they had scooped it up, I definitely kind of like notched it up my radar. Not that I think that everything that Devolver does is amazing, but it's just kind of like, okay, this game is going to get the funding and backing that it needs. You know what I mean, to be like a fully fleshed out experience as opposed to maybe just like a smaller, shorter kind of thing. So, and And that being said, I was very impressed with like the world map after you beat the first stage. And again, the pixel art's just top notch right at the very start of the game. There's like just so much extra like kind of like world building, like stuff that doesn't necessarily need to be in the game. Like there's one part at the end of the, I think, first stage where you're like, you don't even have to find this necessarily, but if you go over to this other area, you can like launch yourself out of this cannon. And then there's this like giant walking in the background, this like giant goopy cyclops looking creature. And again, the pixel art is just so unique. It's like that pixel art style where there's no real outlines to anything. So everything just looks kind of so fluid and seamless and kind of 8-bit, 16-bit, somewhere in between, almost like 12-bit, but like more detailed. I don't know how exactly to explain it, but just looks really cool. And then the core conceit of the gameplay here is like it's mostly a 2D side-scrolling platformer, but then you can burrow underground with your, drill grinder kind of thing. It has a little bit of like a Drill Dozer flavor, although Drill Dozer, at least from what I recall playing that game on the Game Boy Advance, I don't recall being able to like burrow underground, and then you have like full 360-degree control of your movement with the joystick, and you just kind of, you know, there's some combat in there, and then you can actually boost when you're underground in that drill mode, so you can kind of like spring and launch yourself to make like a, you know, clear a gap that you maybe wouldn't be able to clear with just your regular jump. And there's just all sorts of like hidden secrets everywhere that you can, you know, burrow into this, you know, little notch in the rocks and then open up an extra little cavern or whatever. And find a extra hidden gems and stuff like that. And just the gameplay just feels so fluid, so smooth, as does the, you know, the visual presentation and everything like that. The soundtrack's really nice, too. It's got like a nice mellow presentation or a nice mellow like flavor to it. Although I will say like on the opening title screen, it's got these like chuggy kind of metal guitars. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some variety to the soundtrack there, but almost has like a... not quite to this level because it's more, I was going to say Donkey Kong Country vibe to like some of like the more minimalist tracks from those games, but a little less melodic and a little more like in the background. But it just has a little bit of that mood, I guess, is kind of what I was looking to capture there with that comparison. And then another game that I wanted to give a shout out to that I played on a stream recently that just got announced that it's coming to Switch at the end of this month here as well, is this game called Attack of the Karens. And this is a game that the developer was kind enough to send our way a long time ago, and I'd been meaning to fire this one up for ages. It was like kind of like right at the time that I was moving and getting situated, like before I started moving, and then like, you know, I was like, okay, once I get set up and get my streaming set up back up, so now that I'm back up and running, this is one of the first ones I wanted to get back to. And I really love the presentation of this game. It's got this like purple and white and green kind of aesthetic, very minimal green or like yellow, or maybe just like a muted, off white kind of color to it. But it's like got like a Game Boy kind of flavor to it, a lot of like dithering to the pixel art that I really like. And it's just got such a great sense of humor. You just play, it's a roguelite shoot 'em up where you can get unlocks and upgrades along the way. Not super grindy, a little bit, you know, of that, you know, is baked into the, you know, core conceit of the way the game's broken up. But I've only played a handful of runs, maybe like 5 or 6. I did whatever I did on the stream, plus a few more before and a few more after that. And I've already unlocked a pretty good amount of things where you're just like, you know, leveling up your ship's health and power and shooting speed. And there's a few different abilities you can even buy and upgrade, which I haven't bought just yet, but I've still been able to take down a couple of the bosses. And I just, again, I love all the voice acting, the presentation, just, you know, a game that really kind of like leans into a cheeky sense of humor, but like sometimes, or I should say a lot of times, that really doesn't land for me. And I was a little bit worried that might not land with this one, but it really is pretty dang hilarious. And the gameplay is really fun. There's some really cool bullet patterns. It's very much like a bullet hell. You play as this tiny, tiny little ship, and you can get all these little, different like upgrades and buffs and different like, things that'll orbit around your character for different upgrades to either heal you or launch different bullet patterns and extra shots at your enemies and stuff like that. And it's just, again, like the sense of humor, the originality to the bullet patterns, and just the energy to this game is something that it's very much its own thing. And I'm really pumped that it's coming to Switch, because this is one that when I was streaming it, I was playing it on PC here, and I just, any game that I really end up enjoying during a stream, if it ends up coming to Switch, I try to snag it, because I just know I'm going to play more of it here, whether it's a campaign that I've already played all the way through, or, you know, better yet, with something like this, it's kind of more of an arcadey thing. I definitely haven't beaten it, I haven't grinded too much towards the unlock, so I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to wait at this point and scoop this up when it comes out on Switch here soon. So Yeah, I've played a whole bunch of other great games lately during streams, but I'm going to leave it there for the intro on the semi-short and sweet side and kick it over to John Randall and I here for the rest of the episode. And yeah, a bunch more video games chit-chat from here. But yeah, as always, we'll catch you next week. And until then, take care.
John, I saw your post just now about your East 1 and 2 Chronicles experience there. You lost hours of playtime. Oh, it's brutal.
I don't know how accurate of a representative, like if it's a issue with the, if it's a faithful recreation of the original game, or if like Chronicles is a different like port of it.
It's a good question.
But, like it, when you press... What buttons do you press to save in that game?
So in the original version, it's in the, it actually is in this pause menu, or like the, like an overlay menu. It's not like go up to the, go in the inn or talk to a person. It's like in a menu.
Yeah. And that's, so I open the inventory menu and then I saw something online that I'm supposed to use one of the shoulder buttons to get to the save,
like to toggle to another menu or something, maybe.
Oh,
which
geez,
that none of that happens in mine. When I've been able to open the inventory menu and like there's nothing in it because I'm at the beginning of the game.
Sure.
And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna just run to the first town and buy some armor and weapons. And I do that. Nothing in my inventory still. So I'm like, is equipment somewhere else? Because someone clearly told me I need to, like, she's like, oh, I'll tell you your fortune when you equip yourself. And I'm like,
right. Yes.
Did I not do that?
Probably not.
And oh boy, haven't been able to find that menu yet.
Oh man. I guess that's relatively faithful to my experience where I didn't equip things that I had bought and thought that I had. And I definitely did at one point die and lose a good chunk of experience too. But I'm like, it's early game. I can just turn my brain off and run into things and I'll get right back to where I was.
Yeah. Oh, I love doing a spiral or just like a circle and to get a nice good angle on the enemy that I'm running into.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you just keep ramming them from that angle. It's good stuff.
That was the other thing. Oh, so I'm playing with 360 degree control. Is that a thing on the Turbo graphics?
Okay. Definitely not.
Yeah. Like, cause that was an option, like in the options, as well as easy mode, which is what I was playing on it, even though there is a nightmare mode option right from the beginning.
No. Unnecessary.
Yeah. So
it's interesting that it has, cause otherwise I assume it's kind of more grid based on Turbo, right?
Essentially, yeah, more or less. Like, there's kind of, sort of, because you could still, like, be on an angle with another enemy where it's not quite just, like, you're on the same grid, right?
So you could do, like, octo-directional?
No, well, not in the original. It's just kind of like, you know, it's like... I wouldn't say it's just like they're on a block. It's not like the original Legend of Zelda where there's X amount of squares to move around. Like there's a little bit more freedom of movement than that vertically or horizontally, but you still are only attacking in four directions.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. It definitely feels and looks like 32-bit SNES era RPG in terms of like layout and map. Yep. Overlay, but like, man, it's good. It looks good. It's like,
are you playing it on? Were you playing it on PlayStation?
Like Steam Deck.
The Steam Deck. I forgot that you have that dock now hooked up to the TV.
But like, it's so hard, especially with these games that really pretty much only exist in a retro community or in like a very like specific JRPG community. I have no idea what any of the differences are between any of the versions, because from what I can tell, my version is a different, there is a, you can play it in two different modes, even that are from like the 2000s. So like there's a 2001 mode and then there's a 2009 mode. And I have no idea what the difference between those two are. But like, I'm sure that there are people who love these games and is like, are very adamant about which this one is the definitive, the definitive mode.
Yeah, that it came out on PSP, the East 1 and 2 Chronicles. And if they say 2001 mode, it must have came out on like PlayStation 2 or something. Like, in that,
I have no
idea. Maybe 1?
Yeah, maybe and like, 1 even.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe 1.
When I'm playing it, there's this, it looks closer to a like post Final Fantasy VII cinematic, but it's like still like it's a, it might be hand animated with some 3D elements in it. It's got like so many like layers of like low fidelity like imaging, like that it's kind of too blurry to even tell what quality it was originally recorded at. If there's a lossless version of that, like those cinematics, that would be really interesting to see.
I'd like to watch those now after I complete this. I'm probably gonna go back and watch those on YouTube. I'd like to
but
see
it's
those.
So weird, like it's I start like my impulse for a lot of those games is to just like skip over it. But like now that like, I'm kind of approaching it from a historical viewpoint or whatever. Like, no, I want to see what they were like. Hey, this animation is going to do a lot of like visual storytelling that this game just didn't do.
Yeah.
So we need to do it. I don't know. It was so weird. It was so like, no words, no context, just like images over music and like,
okay, so they were weird, very faithful then to the original version on TurboGrafx CD from 89-90.
Maybe that
then.
Even is. Maybe that
even maybe is. That is the, just the same thing.
Just kind of cleaned up a little bit or something,
Oh, that's sick. That's just reimagined. So cool. Because like I assumed it would have been in like, I don't know, Super Nintendo, but no, if it's a TurboGrafx, it probably had a better like hard drive and could render like image. Oh my god,
you got
god.
That whole those, CD going, man. You got all kinds of space turbo, and
those turbo CD games, the few that I played on Wii, like a virtual console, like they had a little bit of that. What was I gonna even say? I was gonna say they had a certain kind of flavor to it, but now I forget what comparison I was gonna make about it.
And then, like, a thing that I really liked that I'd never seen before in, like, this era of JRPG or whatever is, like, when you would talk to groups of NPCs and it would just show up as, like, a splash screen with, like, some really nice, looked like hand-drawn art that they had just, like, then pixelated, like, scanning it into the game. And it's like, wow, this is just... this looks nice. This is a good way to do dialogue trees for like a small group of people that you don't need to go up to each individual character and talk to them.
Yes.
And like you just get this nice little hand-drawn scene of them like lounging at the bar.
Yes. And then you can talk to each one of them and they might have a different quest or say, hey, like I lost this thing. Could you find it? And then once you do find it for them, then their dialogue updates and, you know, there's some stuff there too. It's not static, which is cool.
I don't know. Like it's something that I could definitely see a game now doing a lot more streamlined.
Oh yeah.
Like I feel like someone could make an indie East and it would be an incredible game.
Yeah, I agree. I would love
to see
it. I think
the comparison I was looking to make is like those games kind of reminded me of like what I'm assuming Nintendo hoped like they could have done with like the CDI, like with like the cool cutscenes, like hand animated, like anime.
Oh
style.
My god,
like, 100%. Played like Dynastic Hero,
absolutely,
which was the Wonder Boy and Monster World.
Yes,
I think
correct
remake. I forget what the name of those games are, but I think that's the one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Four or no three.
I think it's three.
Four is the one with Asha or whatever. That game had some cool, like, kind of anime visuals and the great soundtrack with that CD soundtrack. Just good. So good.
Oh, yeah. All made by the system, too. I love the sound of the Turbo.
XSEED? Because I forgot that was the developer until it, like, showed up on my screen. And I was like, oh, yeah, what did XSEED do?
lots of stuff.
I was going to say, are they, I don't know if they're a developer or a publisher. I remember seeing them a lot on like the bottom corner of a lot of like PS1 games.
Oh, yeah. Particular. PS1, PSP.
A lot of like really Japanese, like a lot of RPGs and like shoot 'em ups.
Wild Arms.
Oh, yeah.
Wild Arms. Okay. I didn't know that one. I thought that was a Sony game for some reason.
Rune Factory, too.
Yep.
Oh, dang.
They did the Rune Factory series. Yep.
I didn't know that. Do they still do that?
Oh, this is their publishing. Yeah, so they were a publisher.
Okay. Primarily, yeah.
Okay.
Looks like East 7, East 1 and 2 Chronicles. So weird.
Yeah.
Oh, do they do all of the trails, or is it just one of the trails?
Oh, yeah. Some of those trails games came out on Wii, and XSEED was the publisher then, too. I remember that.
Trails?
Yeah, Trails of... Yeah,
Trails in the Sky. Yes. Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky. Yes. Oh, they did Earth Defense Force. Hell yes. Then Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah, they got a nice catalog there.
Ooh, I like how Little King Story looks. This looks nice.
Which one, Randall?
I'm just looking at some of the screenshots from East Chronicles, and I just like how it looks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they did a Shantae, too.
Yeah. Speaking of Wii, yeah, I forgot about Little King Story. Oh, speaking of Shantae, did you guys see they're like remaking or making that Shantae like Game Boy Advance game that they apparently were making and made, and now they're making it?
100%. Yes.
About that. Yeah.
I will be getting that.
They did do Daemon X Machina too. Okay, I knew. I thought that was it.
Ah.
Nice. And Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
Dang. Okay.
They've got their niche.
And the remakes of the No More Heroes or re-releases they did.
They're giving us our offbeat Japanese, you know.
Like action.
Yeah.
Action or RPGs.
Yeah, action.
Freedom RPG Planet
otherwise. 2. Ah, nice.
Upcoming release.
Freedom Planet.
Yeah, the Sonic offshoot indie.
Yeah.
You like it a lot with a lilac character, purple cat Sonic person. It's not made by Sega. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Man, I just love that it's getting a sequel, because that came out so long ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, they had that sweet collector's version of that game when we were at that one store.
When
we were shopping around, they had that like PlayStation 4 version, I think, but it was like a giant box. I don't know if it came with some kind of book or something.
Of course.
Yeah. We want to chat about for tonight?
Well, I did all my content on East, so I got
sorry.
No, it's hey, good. Whatever. I was like, it feels more like a saver for the cast anyway, so you just made that decision for me. So
I mean,
good.
I'm going to be talking about it more in the future. I actually don't have anything to say about it this time around, because I just, that takes a TV, and when people are visiting and I'm hosting, there's no video games happening on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Totally.